You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hola, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my good buddy Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how different was today than yesterday?
Other than the meals I ate, not that much different.
Well, you look about the same.
Yeah, so thank you.
Do I look the same?
Yeah, actually you do a little bit.
Do I?
Yeah.
Look closer. Do I?
Let's see. Where are you at? Oh, look at that. It's coming in good.
So I made the decision that since I can't see anybody anyway, there's no point in me just having gray hair. So I braved the outside world, went to Walgreens, I got some hair dye, and I went back to my natural color. There's no gray left. And when I get to start seeing people again, and they'll say, "Hey, Jeff, did you do something to your hair?" And I'll say, "No, this is how it's always looked. You just don't know what I look like, jerk." And yeah, so I am younger than I've ever been, or at least as young as I was 5 years ago.
Yeah, so I like it.
Oh, thanks. You'll know what this feels like someday.
Yeah. True that.
But today we're not just going to talk about my gray hair. We're going to talk about Justin Turner's idea for eliminating extra innings in the case of a shortened season this year. And then we're going to talk about our jerseys that we would buy for the American League East. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or plop down on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so Justin Turner on Wednesday threw out an idea, and he's clarified a little bit, and so I'll kind of just give the basics of the idea. He, you know, first of all, he's made it very clear he's just talking about in 2020, in the case of a short season, doing away with extra innings for the most part, or at least long, super long games. Basically saying if a game is tied after 10 innings, instead of continuing to play, you do a little mini home run derby to see who wins. Three players from each team, five outs each, and the team with the most home runs wins the game. And his reasoning behind it was basically pitchers are going to be not as well rest or not as stretched out, and so you're going to be relying on your bullpen more anyway. You'll probably be, you know, even with expanded roster, you'll probably be having six or seven starters instead of five, and they'll be going shorter. And so a 15-inning game, you could literally have to use your whole staff and run the risk of injuring people. And then plus, you know, maybe the next day is a doubleheader. And so basically his point is there's no reason to risk any of that stuff playing a super long game. But he definitely isn't on board with just saying, okay, it's a tie game, so this is a way to have a winner and not play a super long game. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah. I'm probably not in favor of this normally, but like I said, the 2020 season is going to be an interesting season if we end up getting one. And I think this would be a fun wrinkle, kind of the reports have been that there might be more doubleheaders like Turner alluded to. Even with expanded rosters, it'll still be different. You know, pitchers might have to start off only throwing 3 to 5 innings, you know, normally, even if they are pitching very well. And, you know, I think it would be fun. I don't know about like 3 hitters and 5 outs each. That might be a little too long. If you want to keep it, you know, exciting, I might even limit it to one player, but I do like the concept. It's like shootouts in hockey or, you know, penalty kicks in soccer. And it'd be a fun element to, you know, kind of make the best of what would be left of this season. I do like it better than just putting a runner on second and playing that way, but only limited to this season. I mean, even if it's really fun, I don't know if I'm fully in on it, like, for future, but definitely for this season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I do like the idea of three guys per team rather than just one, is because you can have, I think with three guys per team, the better team is still more likely to win, and that's still important to me. You know, you could have a, you know, say the Dodgers are playing the Rockies, and I don't know if the Rockies are the best example, but it's who I'm going with. You know, and they say, okay, Nolan Arenado against Cody Bellinger in the home run contest. Well, you know, I think Arenado probably wins that 40% of the time, just at, by nature of those things being flukes and whatever. But if you say, okay, pick three guys, and the Dodgers say, okay, we're going to go with Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy and Jock Peterson against, you know, then the Rockies say, okay, well, we'll go with Nolan Arenado and who? Charlie Blackmon and David Dahl? Trevor Story. He could probably do well in a home run derby. But, you know, the advantage stretches out more to the better team. And maybe it's just because I'm biased, because I think a team, you know, the Dodgers could throw Bellinger, Muncy, and Jock out there and be like, yeah, we can win pretty much any home run derby. And, you know, but I mean, last year the Dodgers only had seven games that went longer than 10 innings, and they won three and lost four of them. And so, you know, and they still won 106 games. So I feel like this would not really affect the competitive nature. Really what it boils down to is still gives the fans, they get to go home seeing a winning team and a losing team, and not, you know, saying, oh, I just spent 3.5 hours watching a tie game. So you get a result and you get to see some dingers. And I think that's always fun. Maybe it makes the bleacher seats more exciting, knowing there's a possibility of having a home run derby break out at the end of the game. So I think maybe you'd have fans rooting for, like in the 10th inning when their team's up, you'd be rooting for the team to get out and hoping that, you know, it'll go to the home run derby. I think it could be fun, and I agree with you. I wouldn't want it as a permanent thing, but I think Justin Turner is onto something as a potential solution for this year only.
Yeah, I didn't look at it in that aspect of, you know, testing the depth of the teams in order to make it a little more fair in that sense. But yeah, I mean, it would be fun, you know, just thinking about, like you said, a Bellinger-Muncy-Jock combination would be, you know, pretty lethal. I think the Dodgers would have a significant advantage in any home run derby out case if with those three guys. And
And by the way, that's leaving Mookie Betts and Justin Turner on the bench.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm more of a fan of left-handers for home run derbies, but I think that's just, I don't know why. But yeah, you're leaving out two guys. And like I said, it would just be a fun element to kind of, you know, put a little different stamp on this season. And like I said, at least for the Dodgers, seven times is not that much. And 162 games, if they lower it down to like 100 games, that, you know, might even just be three or four times. I'm not sure what the average is for other teams, but, you know, in general, it won't affect it too much of the time, but it would make for a fun, you know, I'd be looking forward to it, especially in games that it wasn't the Dodgers. I'd definitely be rooting for home run derbies almost every other game.
Yeah. In fact, I'd even say, forget this 10th inning thing. If it's tied after 9 innings, go straight to the derby.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
All right, so we will be back in a minute to talk about our jersey picks for the American League East. But first, let's talk about scales. Do you hate stepping on the scale? I do. But mine isn't just because I don't have the right scale. It's because I'm a big fat fatty. But maybe for you, it's because you haven't met the right scale. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. You step on, and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. Vince, sometime we need to talk about why you would need a local weather report while you're standing on the scale, but that's neither here nor there. This scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale and keep it locked on Dodgers. Okay, let's talk about our obscure former Dodger events. Yesterday, you were talking about the 85 Royals, which took you to the 85 Dodgers. And it got me thinking about the 85 Royals, actually. And I was thinking about a guy who started his career with the Dodgers, was drafted by the Dodgers in the second round of the 1977 June draft, which means he may have been drafted the day I was born. I'd have to look and see what the actual date was. But, June 7th. So 5 days after I was born, he was drafted by the Dodgers. He made his debut in 79, pitched for the Dodgers in 79, 80, 82, 83. And then they traded him to the Royals, and he was on the Royals in 84 and 85. And then back to the Dodgers for 15 games in 1986. And then his career was over. His name is Joe Beckwith. Have you ever heard of Joe Beckwith?
I have not.
Joe Beckwith is, in my mind, he's actually connected with Rick Honeycutt because they were both Dodgers relief pitchers in the 1984 top set, the first set that when I started collecting baseball cards. They were both on the Dodgers, and so that everybody on the Dodgers in 1983, so the 1984 set, is kind of lumped together in my mind. And so Joe Beckwith was basically the right-handed Rick Honeycutt, in my mind at least. Turns out that talent-wise, he was very good in 1980, had a 1.96 ERA in 59 and two-thirds innings, good in 82, 2.70 ERA in 40 innings, and other than that, not great. Retired with a 1.08 career ERA plus, so solid, but nothing to write home about. And overall, really not much to say about him, except that I have a bunch of his baseball cards down in the storage room in my basement. And that's our obscure former Dodger, Joe Beckwith. Let's talk about the American League East and jerseys we would buy. This was a tough division for me, Vince, because of these five teams. Basically, you have my favorite player of all time, and then four teams who I had a hard time coming up with anyone because I don't care about them at all. So let's save my favorite player for last, and let's start with maybe the most nondescript of nondescript teams, or at least a team with the least history, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays, or the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, depending on which way you want to go. Who did you pick for that one, Vince?
This division, I'm not a big fan of the Yankees. And then when it comes to some of the other teams, I've picked players, and I'm not trying not to double up if I don't have to, so it's a little different. But yeah, the Rays. I am going to start with the crime dog, Fred McGriff, who was on the Devil Rays. And those jerseys that say Devil Rays used to be super clean, and those hats back then were super clean. So I would definitely go with Fred McGriff as my guy for the Devil Rays.
I think that's a very good choice. I'm a big Fred McGriff fan. For some reason, I couldn't bring myself to go with him just because he's like the team I associate him, like the Rays are the like fifth team I associate with him with, way too low on the list. And so, but then, you know, that explanation makes you wonder, well then Jeff, why did you choose Wade Boggs? And I'll tell you why, because at least Wade Boggs knew he was a gimmick. He signed with the Rays. They wanted him just because they wanted him to be wearing a Rays uniform when he got his 3000th hit. And he was, and if he hadn't been wearing that uniform for his 3000th hit, we all would have forgotten he ever played for the Rays. That and the fact that he promised the Rays that he would go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Rays hat, and that's what spurred the decision by the Hall of Fame to say, you know what, players, it's not totally up to you what hat is on your plaque, because, sorry, Wade, you're not going to be wearing a Rays hat. And the other thing is I like about Wade Boggs is he was the subject of one of my favorite tweets of all time. And the tweet said, Wade Boggs is my third favorite baseball player, but my first favorite way to gather berries. Get it? Wading in Boggs, Wade as a verb, Boggs as a noun. Get it?
I didn't know what bog is. Not
a bog, like a swamp kind of.
Okay.
Like wading through a bog.
I know, yeah. Bog, like bogged down, but didn't know bog.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's I'll have to find that tweet. Maybe I'll retweet that tonight just so everybody can appreciate that. All right. Which team should we do next?
Let's go with the next probably nondescript team, at least for us, because it's above, it's not in our country, and that's the Blue Jays. Jeff, who did you have?
Yeah, and I actually considered Fred McGriff for this one, because Fred McGriff, his rookie card was at the Blue Jays. You know, when most of the time that I was collecting baseball cards, he was a Blue Jay, and I went back and forth. The one that I put on Twitter was Roberto Alomar, and he, you know, I liked Roberto Alomar. I believe he was maybe even, no, he wasn't traded for Fred McGriff, was he? No, but they both played for the Padres. They both played for the Blue Jays. I think I'm going to stick with Roberto Alomar since you already took McGriff for the Rays, but on a different day I might have picked McGriff, and there might be a day that I would pick Carlos Delgado too. So, but yeah, I think I'll go with Roberto Alomar. How about you?
Yeah, it's funny you say Carlos Delgado because that is my choice.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. His stance, I always liked his stance. His swing was vicious. He got a little bit screwed in the Hall of Fame stuff the other day. Not that I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but pretty sure he fell off after his first ballot, which shouldn't have happened. But yeah, I think of either the Whites with the Blue Jays with the, you know, two-color piping, or I think about, for some reason, the red one that said Toronto was kind of cool, and then, you know, there's always the, I think there's another one where there's just a big blue jay on it in the middle, but yeah, there's a lot of jerseys to choose from, and yeah, Carlos Delgado was probably one of my favorite hitters growing up, just, you know, that swing was, it felt like he was swinging so hard.
Yeah, yeah, and Delgado is one of the ones I go to a lot when I'm making the case that the Hall of Fame should change the rules, because if you don't get 5% of the vote, you drop off the ballot. And I think they should lower that to 1%, because that would still keep guys like David Eckstein and, you know, whoever else, guys who get one or two votes, they would still drop off. But guys like, you know, Delgado got 3.8% of the vote his first year, and he was off. And like you said, he's probably not a Hall of Famer, but he probably deserved more thought and consideration than being on one time going up against, you know, the year that he dropped off the ballot. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys on the ballot who have been elected to the Hall of Fame. You know, there were four that year. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Craig Biggio. But then there was also Piazza, Bagwell, Reigns, Lee Smith, Edgar Martinez, Alan Trammell, Mike Mussina, and Larry Walker. And so, you know, he never had a shot to get many votes. And then plus, you know, there's Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Fred McGriff, Gary Sheffield, Mark McGwire, a lot of guys who were getting a lot of consideration. And so Carlos Delgado got 21 votes. 21 votes should be plenty to keep you on for next year and say, okay, we'll think about you again next year. The guys who, you know, Troy Percival got 4 votes that year. Yeah, bump him off. Tom Gordon, Aaron Boone, Darren Erstad. Yep, bump him. But if you get 21 votes, you deserve to be back next year on the ballot.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's do the Yankees next.
Yankees. It was hard because, you know, like, I don't really like the Yankees, and you know, the jerseys are kind of boring. The real ones don't have names on them. But I got to go with the one guy that I did like and respect on the Yankees. And the number is, you know, iconic in the sense of he was the last one to wear it. And that's Mariano Rivera. You know, the pinstripe 42, it was just a classier. Nobody could say about it. I think I made it known before that I don't like Derek Jeter at all. So that was never really a consideration. And going back into, like, Babe Ruth and all them wasn't really consideration either. So he was really the only guy that I could go with and be like, yeah, that's one I would do.
Yeah, I consider Mariano Rivera. And I find myself having a struggle, and obviously not a huge struggle because this is a meaningless exercise. But, you know, to the extent that this matters, I have a hard time. Like, when we get to the Dodgers next week, you'll see I did not pick Jackie Robinson, even though Jackie Robinson is the most important baseball player in history, the most important Dodger in history, but it's almost like, for me, he's too important, or maybe it's because I'm a white man, and so I don't feel like I deserve to wear that. And so I actually, you know, so Jackie Robinson, it being number 42, I felt like if I walked around wearing a Mariano Rivera jersey, it would be stolen valor. Is that the phrase they use for like wearing military uniform you haven't earned? And that it's almost like that. Like, I don't feel like I deserve to wear Jackie Robinson's number, even if it's for Mariano Rivera. And so I went with Lou Gehrig. I had to go way back because there haven't been many Yankees who I like. I don't hate the Yankees as much as a lot of people think I should, but I don't really like them. And Lou Gehrig, I've read probably 6 or 8 different biographies of Lou Gehrig. He's one of my favorite baseball players of all time. And as we'll see when we get to the Orioles, that, you know, there's a connection there with my Orioles pick too. But I almost named my second son, his middle name was almost Gehrig. And the only reason we didn't is because my friend's mom happened to die of Lou Gehrig's disease about a month before my son was born. And so, you know, it's hard to name a kid after a baseball player when you're also naming him after a deadly disease. So we didn't, but, Lou Gehrig, I think, is a jersey I would buy. And, you know, he, number 4, you know, that's a cool number, the cleanup hitter, you know, so that would be mine.
Well, speaking of your favorite player, let's go on to the Orioles and, give us your answer there.
Yeah. Cal Ripken, easy one. Cal Ripken growing up was my favorite player. My first son's middle name is Ripken. He is my favorite player of all time. Embodied everything that I think a baseball player should be. You know, even with the understanding that, you know, he probably should have taken more days off and might have been better for his team if he had all that stuff. But Cal Ripken was a gamer. He was respectful of the game. He played hard. He played well. He did things that a guy his size shouldn't have been able to do. And just, you know, and obviously setting the record, I have, you know, most of my sports memorabilia is Dodgers related. But outside the Dodgers, I have a ton more Cal Ripken stuff than anything else. And I actually have a Cal Ripken jersey hanging on my wall downstairs too. So he's my pick. Who do you got for the Orioles?
I thought about Cal Ripken. I don't know. I don't dislike him. I just, you know, he's never really been one of my favorite players.
Maybe you don't like fun.
Yeah, that might be it. I don't know if he embodies fun, but that's probably part of it, I guess.
Maybe you don't like pretty eyes. Yeah. Do you hate Chris Bryant too?
Yes. That you found it. But yeah, the Orioles haven't really had too much. I thought about Machado, thought about Tejada, but not quite there enough. So I'm going to go with one that was my dad's favorite player, and that was Brooks, or one of my dad's favorite players growing up, not his favorite, but Brooks Robinson, who, you know, probably right up there or right behind Cal Ripken in most famous Orioles. So, you know, we didn't really stray too far from the top on this one, but yeah, I mean, not much to say about him other than it would be, you know, just remembering one of my dad's favorite players.
Yeah. Yeah, I consider, you know, or I didn't consider anybody else because Cal Ripken's obvious, but if it wasn't for that, I would have considered Eddie Murray. I like Jim Palmer too, but yeah, the Brooks Robinson thing, it's kind of fun. My son, who's named after Cal Ripken, one of his best friends is named Brooks after Brooks Robinson. So it's a weird little Orioles connection here in the middle of Utah. So, all right, last team, Vince, we have the Red Sox.
Red Sox. So like I said, I tried to avoid the same player twice. So, you know, no Manny, no Ortiz. I've already done them. And there wasn't really anything else. So I'm going to go with the current player and the guy that was a Dodger last year, and that's Alex Verdugo. You know, obviously, love Verdugo over here. You know, he's a player of Mexican descent, so I've always liked him for that. And he was just fun last year, and, you know, we wish him well over there. And it'd be cool to have his jersey and, you know, represent a former Dodger and keep that legacy going, I guess.
Yeah, Doogie's a very good pick. I couldn't bring myself to pick him because he's never actually played a game for the Red Sox yet. But, you know, That's a technicality. He will. You know, it's not like the Mookie Betts situation where there's an actual chance Mookie will never play for the Dodgers. Verdugo will play for the Red Sox at some point. But yeah, the Red Sox were hard for me because, as we established yesterday, I'm not a huge Manny fan. I actively dislike David Ortiz. I like Pedro Martinez, but I didn't really like him much as a Red Sox. I liked him as a Dodger at an expo. And so, like, you know, the one that I said on Twitter was Roger Clemens, and I don't think that's the right answer, even though growing up I loved Roger Clemens. But Roger Clemens in the last 12 years has definitely made it hard to be a Roger Clemens fan. But, you know, so I don't know. There's part of me that still wants to go with Roger Clemens. But, you know, I'd probably just have to go with somebody who I'm trying to think of a guy who I liked as a Dodger and also played for the Red Sox, you know, like you did with Doogie. And I'm having a really hard time with give me some ideas, Vince. Who are some guys who played for the Dodgers and also the Red Sox?
Dave Roberts and...
Ooh, Dave Roberts is an interesting idea.
Yeah. Doug Minkiewicz, Nomar.
Alex Cora.
Yeah, Nomar. Ruby De La Rosa or Ruby.
Yeah. Jerry Sands.
Jerry Sands, yeah.
James Loney.
Yeah. There's a lot. The whole trade.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess coming the other way, you know, Adrian Gonzalez. Ooh. I like Carl Adrian Crawford. Gonzalez a lot. Yeah. I don't like Carl Crawford as much. I don't like Nick Punto as much. Josh Beckett does nothing for me. But Adrian Gonzalez might be the right answer. I knew Roger Clemens, even when I typed it on Twitter, I'm like, this doesn't feel like the right answer. But Adrian Gonzalez is the right answer. Thank you, Vince. We got there. Adrian Gonzalez, that's my answer.
There you go. Brainstorm worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, although you probably wouldn't be liked very much over there if you wore that Adrian Gonzalez.
No, and that's part of what I like about it. It's a guy who, you know, he did nothing for the Red Sox hated him. They didn't appreciate him when they had him, and that makes me feel better about wearing it, you know?
He even tried playing outfield for them.
Yeah, I guess Mookie Betts would be an option too. I like Mookie.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm going with Adrian. All right, you got any final thoughts before we wrap this up, Vince?
No, it was a lot different than I thought, but I think I have a pretty diverse set of uniforms so far.
Yeah. Today, you know, we made it through the American League East. I think this was the hardest division. I think the National League will be a little easier. There will be more teams that we actively dislike, maybe, or at least have a hard time picking from, but they have enough good players. So I'm excited to get to the National League Central, just because when we get to the Cardinals, I actually do own one Cardinals jersey, and it is not the player who I'm going to say I would buy a jersey of if I had to buy one jersey of a Cardinals. So figure that out.
Mystery.
Yeah. But that'll wrap it up for this week. Thank you all for listening. We know life is weird, and we appreciate you taking the time still to listen to us. Please continue to listen every day. We're here for you. We enjoy doing this, and we're going to do our best to keep bringing you entertaining topics, Dodgers related for the most part, but obviously baseball in general. We would love to hear your ideas for topics. Any questions you have, feel free to shoot them to us anytime. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those, or you can add us. We see all our mentions. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Call us and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text. The number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. And please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car or plop down on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.